preparing to write my sermon this week, I read a sermon in the Christian Century titled, "The Only Thing Really Worth Fearing in Life is Life Without God." The title of that sermon immediately grabbed my attention because I had a conversation earlier in the week in which I had said pretty much the same thing. My words were different, something to the effect of, "All you really need is God." But the sentiment is the same, that God is what we should seek to sustain us and nothing else. The author of the aforementioned sermon based his thesis on our reading from Acts today and Paul's discussion with the people gathered in the Areopagus. He, both Paul and the author, spoke about the Athenians' worship of idols, in particular, their having built an idol to an unknown god, one so powerful that he or she could obliterate them in no time at all. Just in case there was such a god, the Athenians decided to make an idol, that it would be wise to appease him or her in advance. So they built this statue to cover all their bases. On one level, that seems entirely foolish to us. We are wiser than those foolish Athenians. We know that there is but one God, and that we can know the nature of God through our experience with Christ. That much we can all agree on. But can we agree that the only thing worth fearing is life without God? Or that our God, the one true God, is not random and does not require our appeasing in order to avoid obliteration? I spent some time this week at Webster's Chapel. And while I would not advise you to drive there to gawk, I would urge you to go and help. A month out from that deadly night of tornadoes, and there is still much to be done. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say we have barely touched the surface, and the months and perhaps even years to come will require the assistance of many for places like Webster's Chapel and the surrounding neighborhoods for anything to even vaguely resemble normal. As of Friday of this week, a good deal of debris and the remains of what were once homes has been moved to the edges of the roads. But there's still pieces of metal wrapped around trees. And in one spot, a mattress has attached itself to the lower limbs of a tree, a constant reminder of the abnormality in which they live. As area assistance groups leave and go back to their own unattended lives, the number of people being fed at Webster's Chapel has quadrupled. Just 2 weeks ago, a noon meal fed about 200 with 100 for dinner. Now, there are 500 for lunch and 250 for dinner. And the volunteer staff is tired, but they continue to do all they can to bring order out of chaos, to move people from devastation and fear to a place of beginning and hope, hope for their future. Can these folks even begin to believe that the only thing really worth fearing is life without God? Perhaps when you've lost everything, you understand that better than ever before. When you've lost all your worldly belongings, it's much more difficult to hold on to things as your idol. There's still a long way to go in the work of recovery, and it will be important to stay the course and continue to assist for as long as is needed. As the days wear on, the temptation will be for us to get back to life as normal and move away. And unfortunately, there will be more needs as the days continue, just as there have been in Missouri and throughout the Midwest. And we will continue to help as we can. Immediately after this service, 10 of our youth and 2 chaperones will head to New Orleans for a mission trip. This mission trip was planned long before our recent disasters. There's still much to be done there, even 6 years after the hurricane. We will commission this group before they go and send prayers for their mission, knowing that upon their return, they will share with us what they have experienced and learned. I feel certain that their skills can be used in our region in the future. Before we commission the youth mission team, we'll baptize Jeffrey Braxton Stiles and bring him into the body of Christ. He will go through the waters of baptism and will die to his old life and be born anew into life in Christ. We will join with Braxton and his family and renew our own baptismal covenant. We will recommit to the promises that were made for us and that we have made for ourselves. We will affirm our faith and make bold promises that affirm the commitment required of those who have been baptized into Christ's body. The promises we will make are: we will promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of the bread and prayers, to persevere in resisting evil, and when we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve all persons in Christ and loving our neighbor as ourselves, and finally, we promise to strive for justice and peace among all people, and promise that we will respect the dignity of every human being. These promises are made in question form, and they're good questions to ask before going out in the world as missionaries. They're the grounding of our beliefs and who we are as Christ's followers. They are not easy promises. Sometimes we forget to pray. Sometimes our words sound anything but Christ-like, and loving ourselves is hard enough, much less our neighbors, especially if we are in close quarters and are tired. And then, if that isn't enough, there's that part about respecting the dignity of every human being. That one is really tough. It came to my mind about a month ago as I watched the cheers and parties gathered around the country upon hearing that Osama bin Laden had been killed. And while the death of such a dangerous person is certainly a relief, respecting the dignity of every human being does not allow for that sort of lighthearted celebration in response to the news that someone has been killed. Every human being leaves no loopholes. This is the family that Braxton is being brought into today. These are the promises with which our youth missionaries will be sent out to do the work that they have been called to do in New Orleans. And these are the promises that we make for ourselves as we return to our lives outside of this holy space. We do well to remember them. And we do even better to remember that the response to each question is, I will with God's help. That is our hope and our assurance, that with God's help, we can continue the apostles' teaching and fellowship, can persevere in resisting evil, and when we sin, repent and return, can proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, can seek and serve Christ in all persons and love our neighbors and ourselves. And strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Without God's help, we would have no hope of being able to rise to these promises. But because of this, we know that the only thing really worth fearing is life without God. Without God, there is no hope. We can do much with God's help. Thanks be to God. Amen.